From Squid Game to Hunger Games, so much of what has been thrust upon us as entertainment is really conditioning us for the end times. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are talking about a number of topics and the conditioning that is going on right now when it comes to us, not just us as believers, but I believe the conditioning that is happening to people all over the world, whether they like to believe it or not. In fact, if you're watching this right now, hopefully, if you're watching this, you had a nice time with your family yesterday. It was Thanksgiving. And typically what in fact, millions of Americans will do today, and now I know that's gone over to other places such as Mexico and Canada and all around the world, but a lot of people get involved in Black Friday. And this Black Friday typically is people going out and getting really good deals on TVs and so forth. But a lot of people don't realize some of the horrible chaos that has taken place, and some people that have gone to simply go out and get a toaster and have come back very injured, and some have even wind up dead. And it does, in fact, always go back to the reality of us not looking at and recognizing our fellow humans as made in the image of God. And we'll talk about that. But I want to prove it first through the data, because I'm just going to read from one New York Post article talking about different incidents that took place starting back in 2008. In 2008, a Walmart employee on Long Island was trampled to death when more than 2,000 enthusiastic gift grabbers busted through the store's front door and could not be contained. This marked Black Friday's first stampede fatality. In 2011, there were no deaths, but 20 were injured in North Carolina when an off-duty cop reportedly began pepper spraying shoppers in 2011. Quote, he was raining it over the whole crowd, a witness said. Quote, some of it got my granddaughter in her face and eyes, and she had to go to the emergency room because she is asthmatic. Fellow cops seemingly covered for him by describing the raining as a puff of pepper spray. In 2012, two people in Tallahassee, Florida were shot over a parking spot. Adding insult to injury, the victims never even made it into the mall for Black Friday savings. 2016, two people were shot in the parking lot of a South Jersey shopping mall. One died and the other was injured, but it was far from the only parking lot shoot up. Judging by the outcome of a Walmart parking lot argument in San Antonio, Black Friday is the wrong day to be a Good Samaritan. According to the Washington Post, in 2016, Isidro Zarate saw a man pulling a woman's hair. He told the guy to take his hands off her. The hair puller complied, only to reach for his gun and murder Zarate. In 2018, one final lesson for those brave enough to shop on Black Friday: keep your eyes to yourself. Following this advice might have prevented a man from being shot in a mall in Memphis, Tennessee. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a shopper last year had the temerity to check out an attractive woman. Outside the mall, he got knocked out and shot by the woman's beau. An overexcited spectator then pulled out his own gun and began shooting. The paper reported that it was unclear if the man was shooting at the brawlers or just in the air. The fact is that when it comes to people going to get savings, a lot of them are getting hurt in the process. And because stores have become so competitive at trying to get people to their doorbusters, at trying to get people at their doors, that they continued to move up the time in opening, where some families were leaving early from their family dinners in order to not only get that hit of tryptophan from the turkey, if that's true and it actually puts you to sleep, or the fact that you're taking in copious amounts of food. But nonetheless, those people are going home, getting in bed, going to sleep early so they could wake up at 4 o'clock to be in line, maybe at Best Buy or Target or Walmart. And the reality is that wasn't good enough. So Walmart and Target and so forth began moving those hours up to the point where literally they were opening up on Thanksgiving night. And it wasn't really Black Friday, but kind of a Mercury Thursday or something. But nonetheless, this is what has been going on, and it's been getting people away from their family. But this episode specifically is talking about conditioning. And the reality is that when it comes to Black Friday and these quote unquote deals, I was looking at this from the lenses of scripture and what scripture says happens actually in the end times. Because you think about people being trampled to death over getting $100 off a TV. Now, can you just imagine with me that these same people that are trampling over people to actually pay money for these goods, to receive those goods, are now told that there is only one place, only one facility, and only their government ultimately will give them the food that they need. Not just TV, right? Not just toaster ovens, all right? Not just air fryers. We're talking about an actual event that will take place at one point when all currency comes to one specific place. And this is what it says in Revelation 13, that this will happen. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. The question is, when we look at this and see so clearly that there will be one currency and one way to get your goods. And when we see that people have come to a place where they've been conditioned that a deal is worth more than human life, this is the doctrine of Imago Dei. That means that we are made in the image of God, that we have inherent value because we come from our Creator. And the reality is that when we look at this and no longer look at us at our fellow man as having Imago Dei, then we are no longer following exactly what Christ called us to follow, which is to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we do that, when we do not love our neighbor as ourself, we are not following the commands given to us by our Savior. It's very interesting. I think about the Ten Commandments when it comes to this, when it comes to this idea of making sure we are following the Lord and making sure we are following his commands. And in the Ten Commandments, it's interesting because I want to go over them and then I want to show you exactly what Jesus does when he answers a question in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 22 regarding the greatest commandment. But here are the Ten Commandments in order. Number one, you're to have no other gods before the one true God. Number two, you're not to form an idol. Number three, you're not to take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, you're supposed to remember the Sabbath. I will get to that. But number five, you're supposed to honor thy mother and thy father. Number six, you are not to kill. Number seven, you are not to commit adultery. Number eight, you are not to steal. Number nine, you are not to lie. And number 10, you are not to covet. Now, most people would point out that the first four deal directly with your relationship with the one true God. Now, having nothing before God, there is nothing in this world that comes before your relationship with God. And then you aren't supposed to form an idol and worship that idol, not even in your mind. You see, because a lot of people don't realize they commit idolatry, and there's a reason why the word is so close to adultery, because that's what it is, spiritual adultery against God. You're putting somebody else above your Creator. And in fact, for most people, the idol that they worship, I know that we could go over and look at the Hindu gods, and you can even say Allah, right? The Catholic version of God as well, and so forth. And you could look at this and say, those are idols. Obviously, when you walk into a Catholic church and see all the idols, you recognize there's idolatry going on there with the veneration of Mary and so forth. obviously, when you go into Hindu temples, they're really easy to peg out and say, okay, I see there's, you know, there's almost an idol for a false god for, you know, for every person on the earth, right? There's just so many false gods and so forth. But I think that many people just go over this and don't realize that they're committing idolatry a lot of times with, for men, on the face that they shave, and for women, the way that they take pictures and to try to look, you know, great on their Instagram page or whatever it may be. And they do this in a form of idolatry because ultimately they are worshiping themselves. We live in a narcissistic society that dopamine hits come a lot of times from likes on TikTok and Twitter and shares on Facebook and so forth. And the reality is this is idolatrous worship that we have to, as believers, get far, far, far away from. We cannot sit here and act like the rest of the world. But I digress, because the point of this is to show you that those first four commandments deal specifically with our relationship to God. And I believe the fourth commandment, remembering the Sabbath and keeping him holy, the same way that we cry out in the Lord's Prayer, not that he ever prayed it because you pray for forgiveness of sins and Jesus never sins, but hallowing thy name, making God's name holy, that we start the very thing we start that prayer with. Our Father, remember, our Father, our, the church's Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We want to make God's name holy. And it's interesting, it's the fourth commandment, and this will help you, that Hebrews chapter 4 actually tells us our Sabbath rest and who our Sabbath rest is. Not what it is, but who it is and how we are to be diligent to enter that rest, because that rest ultimately is culminated not off taking a day off from sundown on Friday, but it's ultimately culminated in Jesus Christ. And every single believer right now no longer is worshiping the shadow. We have the substance that is in Christ, according to Colossians 2:16. And nobody can judge you for not keeping a Sabbath. That doesn't mean you can't and that the Sabbath wasn't made for man. But ultimately now all New Testament believers, guess what? We are in Christ, and I keep the Sabbath not on Friday to Saturday. I keep it every single day of the week because at all times I'm at rest in Jesus. Whether I'm in complete joy because of all the blessings that he's given me, or those times where I may be struggling because of circumstances around me, I always have the rest in Jesus. And that is an absolute blessing. But here's the thing. The next six commandments all have to do with your relationship to the other people that are made in the image of God. So you are to honor your mother and father. That's very, very important. That command comes with a promise in it. You are not to kill someone, right? You're not to murder. You're not to commit adultery. You're not to steal. You're not to lie. You're not to covet. These sins hurt other people. It is how you react to the people around you. And when we no longer look at people in the image they are made of and no longer recognize the inherent worth that they have, we minimize who people are. We minimize the fact that God has made them in his image. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we're in need of God's grace. But the reality is that God purchased the church with his own blood. The reality is that God saw us worthy enough to die for us. He loved us so much that he died for us. Us wretched, wicked lawbreakers. Jesus Christ came to die for us. Man, he's a good, good God. And this is how Jesus actually answers the question of the greatest commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, he says, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole of the law and the prophets.'" Now notice something. He doesn't just say this is the law or this is the Ten Commandments. But actually what he says is that all of the law, all of the prophets, I believe he's pointing to all of the Old Testament, everything hinges upon these two facts, that we shall love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as yourself. And most people point to the fact that this summarizes the first four and the last six of those commandments, both in worshiping our God, loving our God with everything in us, and loving our neighbor as ourself. It kind of encapsulates both of those things. And I believe when it comes to what happens in, you know, with this whole Black Friday extravaganza and chaos that goes on, and people leaving their houses to go do this. And, you know, it's one thing to go out with a bunch of family members, maybe have some fun, hopefully don't get involved in too much chaos. It's another thing to go out and be a part of the covetousness, be a part of the pushing people down and making sure you cut in line and get yours first. That is not the spirit of the gospel. And if that is what you've been doing, I say repent and turn from that. And all this has to do with us being ultimately conditioned. Now, I wanted to point this out because when it comes to specifically the conditioning that has gone on in the entertainment business for us, one of the most important films that I believe we have done here, not in terms of the music, that's They Sold Their Souls to Rock and Roll, but our film, Hollywood's War on God. Because what Hollywood's War on God, I believe originally its intent was to show how wrong the Da Vinci Code was. And we even have a track and Joe's done messages, the Da Vinci Con, and so forth. But I believe that what was basically uncovered during that time was this old ancient lie of Gnosticism, not only in the Da Vinci Code, but in a number of popular movies that really it slid under the rug, under so many people's eyes, sometimes in comedies and romantic comedies and so forth. And people didn't even know what they were getting themselves into while being continuously conditioned into Gnosticisms. And I want to list some of the movies that are gone through in that film that push Gnosticism without a doubt. The Truman Show, The Matrix, Constantine, Pleasantville, Vanilla Sky. He goes through a number of different movies, including the X-Men and so forth. But that movie shows that there was a conditioning. There has been a conditioning to accept the very thing, the very religious movement that was the greatest threat and attack on the early church. And that was Gnosticism, the false ideology and teaching of Gnosticism that was trying to creep into the church, that was stumbling so many. And that has come back. It's like Satan just repackages it. It's like there's nothing new under the sun, exactly as the scriptures say. And the reality is that Pastor Joe Schimmel showed over and over, and it's almost redundant, but important in its redundance, so that you can see that there is a conditioning going on. So I want to go through a few films where we also see conditioning going on concerning life, concerning how we view, once again, our fellow men, our commandments. And I believe when it comes to this conditioning, being ready to celebrate the death of others for the life of the few. And so it's very interesting because Squid Game is a huge, huge show. It's the number one popular show on Netflix right now. I think it was one of the hits for Halloween where everyone was dressing up as Squid Game characters and so forth. And I want to get into that, but there's actually been, it's almost a regurgitation. If you guys remember Avatar, a lot of people said, oh, this is just, you know, an alien version of this movie, and it's just this and that. And a lot of times that's exactly what it is. They're regurgitated and put together with CGI from films that have already been done in other ways and other methods. And this is very similar. Now, the first one I want to point out where we kind of have this degeneracy where we no longer look at somebody as human, even if they've committed crimes and so forth. And that comes from The Running Man starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm just going to read from the plot lines for you guys. In the year 2019, now this was made well before that, America is a totalitarian state. Oh, that's interesting. Where the favorite television program is The Running Man, a game show in which prisoners must run to freedom to avoid a brutal death. Having been made a scapegoat by the government and imprisoned, Ben Richards, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, has the opportunity to make it back to the outside again by being a contestant on the deadly show. Although the twisted host, Damian Killian, played by Richard Dawson, has no intention of letting him escape. And this one is gruesome. By the way, I watched it before I was saved. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I used to be a huge fan of his before I came to Christ and then realized how much of a phony he really is. But nonetheless, this movie was very, very popular. And these movies have continued to be popular. Movies very similar in the way they are played. Once again, they're games being played, and these games leading to life or death, and you have to beat out other competitors who ultimately will die during the process as well in order for you to save your life. Another film series who, by the way, this one was huge. In fact, I believe the books were even bigger, is The Hunger Games. In what was once North America, the capital of Panem Mountains, its hold on its 12 districts by forcing them each to select a boy and a girl called tributes to compete in a nationally televised event called The Hunger Games. Every citizen must watch as the youths fight to the death until only one remains. District 12 tribute Katniss Everdeen, played by Jennifer Lawrence, has little to rely on other than her hunting skills and sharp instincts in an arena where she must weigh survival against love. Once again, now we're getting into, before it was criminals, and now it's kids being forced into this. So how does this relate to now Squid Game? Well, here's Squid Game. The series revolves around a contest where 456 players, all of whom are in deep financial debt, risk their lives to play a series of deadly children's games for the chance to win $45.6 billion, not dollars, but they're actually South Koreans' money, which I believe are called won. The title of the series draws from a similarly named Korean children's game. Hwang had conceived of the idea based on his own economic struggles early in life, as well as the class disparity in South Korea and capitalism. Though he had initially written it in 2009, he was unable to find a production company to find the idea until Netflix took an interest around 2019 as part of their drive to expand their foreign programming offerings. All nine episodes were written and directed by Hwang. Now, in Squid Game, you have them playing these children games. One of them specifically that many people remember is Red Light, Green Light. As they go forward and they have to stop, and when it's a red light, and there's this giant head that turns around. And at first, you know, they're playing the game and it's all fun. And the next thing you know, someone's brains are blown out. All right. So it gets really serious really fast. It's interesting that the little girl whose voice is used for that game, her parents will not even let her watch the show. I wonder how many Christian parents have allowed their children to watch their show, but the very people who were involved in it don't even watch it. But this is once again, and I had a number of other movies to go through, but I wanted to go through something that will take place in the end times as well and tie this up together, because this is really important for us to understand that we are being conditioned to not sacrifice our lives, one, but also letting money decide things for us, not recognizing how futile that is and risking our lives for that money and chasing after that, not recognizing as well that when you lose your life, you will ultimately save it. But guess what? If you're going to hold on to this life, you're going to lose it. That's the reality here. And I also point out that there are prizes given out for the winner while everyone else dies. And it's interesting. It just made me think as somewhat of a parallel here. But in the end times, and not as much of this, all the, you know, 46.3 billion currency there in South Korea and what they will get. But when I look at it and when I see people playing for these prizes as people die and perish around them while they play kids' games and so forth, and people are watching this as entertainment, and you wonder why your conscience isn't bearing witness against you as a believer, we have to think about this and recognize that in the end times, people will die And ultimately, people will cheer it on when they die. You see, that's exactly what takes place in The Running Man. That's exactly what takes place in The Hunger Games. That's exactly what's taking place here in Squid Game, is trying to beat out everyone else and let everyone die so you can win the prize. And here we see that in the end times, in Revelation chapter 11, you have the two witnesses there. And now the two witnesses, they're awesome. They prophesy for 1260 days, right? Anyone that tries to harm them, they can scorch them out with fire. I mean, it's just radical. But eventually they are overtaken. And here's what it says in Revelation 11, 7 through 10. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. These prophets sent by God to prophesy, do these radical wonders. Anyone who tries to harm them, they're killed. And by the way, these same two witnesses ultimately are given the breath of life back, and everyone is terrified when they see God call and take them up to heaven. That's what happens with them. But what we see here quite clearly is people watching it. And it's kind of interesting. We're in a day and age where people died in Israel. All nations, tribe, kindred, and tongue would be able to see it on video. It's not like everyone would be looking over the top of Jerusalem, but now we'll have cameras. And this actually can take place right now, where everybody, no matter where they are, could pick up their cell phone and see the people dead and celebrate one with another. Oh no, those guys are dead, and celebrate it. Interesting, all these shows watching people die and celebrating their death, and yet we look at the end times and we are told this is the exact thing that will ultimately take place. We recognize over and over again the conditioning that we no longer look at people made in the image of God, and instead of recognizing that Christ loved them enough to die for them, that we should lay our lives for them, we push them over for a toaster. We move them over, not even to get it for free. You're actually still going to pay for it. And typically, the deals are fake. They just add a higher price next to the sale price and only raise it down a little bit. And yet, people are being trampled to death over this. People are being shot over this. Because I know back in the day, it was Tickle Me Elmo or Furbies. I don't even know what's going on out there today in the more popular toys. But the reality is that you've been bought at a price. If you're a believer, this should not be so for you. We should turn from these things, recognize the conditioning. And also, if this sin of watching things like this and recognizing this conditioning is bearing witness against your soul, then repent and turn from it and put no evil thing, no despicable, no worthless thing before your eyes. This has been Chad Davidson, and this is the 511 News.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.